Welcome to What in the World is God Doing? Sponsored by Dr. Kara Nordstrom Hutchison. Now join our host, Eli Beltran, as he shares how God is working around the world and here in Central Illinois.
Hi, and welcome to What in the World is God Doing? This is your host, Eli Beltran, with Youth for Christ. And here in the studio, we have Katrina Forseth with Child Evangelism Fellowship. Welcome, Katrina.
Oh, thanks for inviting me, Eli. This is exciting.
It's always good to have you here in the studio behind the mic.
Yes, that's right.
God is doing so much, and especially in the ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship. Well, you know what? That ministry has been around for a long time.
83 years.
Wow.
But I am not that old. But I just finished my 26th year full time. I'm not finished.
Congratulations.
But yes, I got my 20, whatever award. So there you go.
What is the group that Child Evangelism works with? What age?
Our window is ages 4 to 14.
4 to 14. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So a lot of people don't know that. So we also do ministry for the middle school age too, even though our primary emphasis is 4 mm-hmm, to 12. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But we also have like Good News Clubs, and we call them JYC, Junior Youth Challenge, for middle school too. And then also our camp ministry with training young people to, whether they're working dishes or whatever, but we just want to help them to grow in their walk with the Lord.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of ministries will have an expansion of their ministry, depending on what the needs are in that particular community.
Mm-hmm.
I know some YFC programs that have ministry into the college and universities, mm-hmm. and some that have ministry down into elementary schools.
Right.
But mm-hmm. that's the need. Nobody else is doing it in town, and so right. you just go ahead and do that.
Mm-hmm.
Although with us, our primary group is 10 to 20.
Okay, right. Yeah, exactly.
But the Lord kind of changes things when he wants to.
And you're right. You know, that's one of the things that we saw, that, you know, we had to expand a little bit into the, the 13 and 14 age range, because it's almost like people have things for high school and college, and then you have the children, but like that middle school is like a Grand mm-hmm. Canyon drop-off. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want to just have children coming up through our clubs or our camp ministries and say, okay, bye, see you later. You have to be 3 more years before you can serve with us. I mean, we need to minister to them all the way through.
Yeah. I've got a good friend who always says, hey, you know, it doesn't have to have our name on it. If it's kingdom business, mm-hmm. encourage it, right? Mm-hmm. Whoever is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So CEF, give me how many years again?
83.
83.
And
years.
I do have to tell you, our first middle school Junior Youth Challenge Good News Club is going to be starting very soon. There's a church called Living Waters mm-hmm. here in Central mm-hmm. Illinois, and they found out that you can be in the public school after school with a Bible club that meets in the school right after school's over with. And so it looks like that's going to be ready to get started, and we're so excited. So we're in 78 schools mm-hmm. statewide with Good News Clubs in elementary, and this will be our first middle school here in Peoria. But we also have one in Pinckneyville, mm-hmm. which is down there in the southern part, and we have a couple other ones spread out throughout the state. So there's no question. I mean, we're big, or, is in the elementary emphasis. We reach about 10,000 children every year with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, statewide through all of our ministries here in Illinois. But this is exciting. So
it is.
We're expanding into a new area.
I'll be anxious to hear how that goes. That's great.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why is because there was a Good News Club in Keller Grade School in District 150, and then the kids grew up, and then they went into, and I guess they funnel into Charles Lindbergh
mm-hmm.
Middle School here in the Peoria area. And so they're like, hey, you know what? My kids were in Good News Club, and this team leader, I think her name is Barbara Ringenbach. Mm-hmm. And so she said, I want to do a Good News Club. So she's going to be the team leader, and she's got a church. And so we just got to get them trained and ready to go.
That is great.
Yeah.
That is great. Now, not only Peoria and Illinois,
uh-huh.
but nationwide and even international.
Yes, and I'll just go ahead and tell you, because I know this is our brothers and sisters, we are actually in every country in the world except one, and I won't tell you what that country is, but we're in every country in the world, and so we're reaching over 25.5 million children with the gospel every year. And just to let you know, 26 years rewind, when I first came in the ministry, we were only doing like maybe 4 or 5 million children. But that's how much the ministry has been growing exponentially, just busting at the seams around the world, which kind of leads me to one of the things I wanted to talk to you about today. I just got back from Africa. I went to Uganda, so I got to experience that a little bit.
Uganda.
Yes.
We were, and that nation have had so much problems in the past.
Oh, absolutely.
And those problems, of course, don't always go away. You have consequences that continue and continue. Mm. But it's great that you got to go and minister there.
This is my third time I've been to Uganda. I've been to Africa 6 different times. And I started way back when I went to Kenya in 1988. I went with a Jesus film, also with Word of Life. I don't know if you ever heard of Word of Life.
Oh, yeah, sure.
With Screen Light New York. And I went there. And then all the other 4 times I've been there is also with CEF. And so this is the third time I was asked to come back. And I was asked to be the national speaker for their national conference for Child Evangelism Fellowship in Uganda. And when I first went there in 2003, they had 9 workers, national workers, and now today they have 33 workers. And they're now reaching 1 million children with the gospel every year through the ministry of CEF in Uganda. And so I came there just to encourage the workers, encourage their volunteers. And one of the things that they can do is they can walk right into the public schools during the school day. They don't have to wait like we do here, wait till school's out, you know, and be like one of the after-school community groups. No, they can walk right in. And so we went to we went to 5 schools in one day and reached over like 1,000 children. I mean, we went all the way from the nursery age, elementary, primary, and even secondary age. And by the end of the day, I went and I spoke to high school students. I had 500 high school students at a time. So it was really cool. And so you just walk right in and share and you teach God's word.
So what language do they speak there?
Its official language is English. And that's what makes it so beautiful, because they were a colony at one time of Great Britain. And so everybody has their own mother tongue. And like, for example, their mother tongue is probably most likely Luganda, which is different than like Kenya is as Kiswahili. Mm-hmm. And so their mother tongue is Luganda, because it used to be the Buganda Kingdom back in the 1800s. There's a really cool story. I don't know if I have time for it, but basically it all goes back to David Livingstone, you know, that famous missionary.
Sure.
And he was looking for the source of the Nile, and he knew it was somewhere in Lake Victoria, but he couldn't exactly put his finger where it was. But before he passed away, Henry Stanley came, remember, Dr. Livingstone, I presume, and tipped his hat and all that. And so then the story goes on that Dr. Livingstone basically led Henry Stanley to Christ. Dr. Livingstone died, and then Henry Stanley took on Dr. Livingstone's mantle, and he was looking for the source of the Nile, and lo and behold, it was in Jinja in Uganda. And at that time, there was Arabs that were vying for the Buganda Kingdom that were trying to get the Buganda Kingdom to switch over to being a Muslim. But Henry Stanley, because he was looking for the source now and he was a Christian, then he persuaded the Buganda king to allow him to send a telegram to the Queen of England and said, "We'll teach your people how to read and write." And he said, "And I'll send for teachers." And so the Buganda king could have went for Muslims, or if he could have went with the Queen of England, and he decided to side with Henry Stanley. And so the Queen of England decided to send the teachers, and guess who the teachers were?
Missionaries.
And so they started with the king, the Buganda king's children in his court. So actually the ministry of the gospel started with children in Uganda. That's how the gospel, and teaching them how to read and write scripture. It goes all the way back. And so when you come to the 19th century, the first country in Africa that declared themselves to be a Christian nation was Uganda.
Wow.
So anyways, it's really cool there.
You know, that's a great story for parents to read to their children.
Yeah. It takes a lot of researching to do. I kind of did a paper on it.
Yeah,
so.
there's got to be a book out there
somewhere. Yeah, there's more to the story. But anyways, that's how it started. But Satan tried to stamp it out. So then the king's son, the next king of the Buganda kingdom, then he switched over to being a Muslim, and he tried to stamp it out. And so 33 Ugandan pages in the king's court lost their life. They were burned and the fire, and they were wrapped in reeds, but they would not recant. They would not say Allah is our God and Muhammad is our prophet. They died with the name of Katunda on their lips. And so instead of stamping out Christianity, it just spread like wildfire. And then it happened again under the terror, the reign of Idi Amin in 1970. So twice persecution has broken out in Uganda. And every time persecution has come, the church has only grown and deepened. So now today, Uganda is 70% Christian. Now that sounds wonderful. You're like, well, then why are you going over there? Well, Christianity, like they say in Africa, is a mile wide, but it's an inch deep. And one of the things I found out, I've been going there to Africa for a while, is it's so exciting that you can teach the Bible in the public schools. But one thing, and they do it like as an academic class, just like math or English or history or whatever, or science. But they changed somewhere around the time, I don't know, about 10 years ago, and they stopped teaching religious education Bible only. And someone high up in the governments, I think it came out of Nairobi, they rewrote the curriculum to be more like world religious survey. And so now their textbook says, this is what Christians believe, this is what Jewish people believe, this is what Muslims believe.
Without taking a position.
Uh-huh. And so, well, they may lean it towards Christianity depending on the teachers, but here's the kicker. I found out that 70% of the people, the believers, the Christians in Uganda, do not have a Bible on their own. 70% of the Christians in Uganda do not have their own Bible. That means these children in these schools that are being taught religious education, we think, oh, that's wonderful. And they do let the missionaries like myself and so forth come walk, and that's great. But the thing is, they don't have the Bible to help them understand what is true and what is false.
And to grow in their faith.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that leads me to, I was there for 3 weeks. It was amazing. We reached over 3,000 children in a three-week period of time. We went to 9 different schools and speaking in churches. But I was like, you know what? I just want to just light it up over here, and this is not about me. And so I asked the national director, I said, could I come back here to Uganda and bring a team? And he said, absolutely. And so right now we're calling it Vision 2020. So that's next year, 2020. So the vision, 2020, that's, And so the vision is, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few and the fields are white to harvest. So I want to bring some of my Cracker Jack top staff from here in Illinois, my key directors, and I want to have a school ministry team. I want to have a teacher training team, and I want to have a camp Bible team, because we also do camp ministry here in Illinois too. And we want to spread out throughout the land in Uganda, and we want to reach boys and girls for Christ, equip people to reach boys and girls for Christ, and also during their holiday times, we can do Bible camps for them. So we're looking at November 22nd through December 13th next year, Vision 2020. And on top of that, we want to raise funds. We want to send about 3,000 to 5,000 Bibles if we can, and we want to ship them by boat to Mombasa, and then have a truck pick them up in Mombasa and take them all across the border from Kenya to Uganda. And so it's like a starfish, like that little boy, he sees all those starfish that came on the beach, and he's like, they're going to die if I don't throw them back in, And this old man comes up and he goes, little boy, let me tell you, you can never save it. He goes, well, I can save this one. And so I know I don't have 16 million Bibles. I don't have 1 million Bibles. I don't have 100,000 Bibles. But whatever, we can raise, it's like I can, they're going to give it to us for a Bible a buck. So if we can raise like $5,000 plus the shipping fees and whatever, and the duty fees or whatever, we can bring some Bibles and we can put that in the hands of the children. So that's the goal.
Katrina, I am so excited about what you're doing that you have worn me out already.
I'm sorry. I talk too much.
No, not at all. The content of everything that's going on in your life and in Uganda and that ministry and your vision and goals for the future, wow, that's great.
Well, I was telling one of my board members, actually, you mentioned her name, Julie Whelan, is my chairman of our state board for CEF of Illinois. I said, Julie, just think about it. We can reach in 3 weeks probably more children than we reach in a whole year here in Illinois. I said, that doesn't mean it right, wrong, or whatever, but I just want some of my staff members to experience that the fields are white and the harvest over there, but at the same time, there's a caution there that a lot of times we get so excited about ministry over there and the open doors that God has for us over there for the gospel. And they're phenomenal. I mean, they're amazing. I mean, they're just, God just wide open those doors. But yet we forget that God has still, he has a heart for USA too. And he has opened doors here for the gospel. And we can't forget that this God has placed us here. He's given us opportunities over there, but he's placed us here.
And you know what? I think those people that get involved in ministry locally are the best equipped to go overseas and do a better job because they already have that commitment right where they're living.
That's a good point.
And so those people that you want to take with you to Uganda are those people that are already doing it.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, one of the open doors, I know God smote my heart. I thought back, I don't have time to share everything, but when I was 15 years of age, That's when God spun my life around. And then when I was 16, I really felt like God was calling me to be a missionary overseas in Africa. And when it didn't work out and not all those things fell into places, I was like, did I miss the boat or something? But then it's like the Lord just dawned on me. It's like, Katrina, no, I could have sent you there, but I placed you here. And it's like the Lord says, you're excited about the open doors over there in Africa. I want you to be just that excited about the open doors that are here, mm-hmm. and specifically here in Illinois. So I wanted to let you know that, you know, we need to be encouraged. We can be encouraged about what's happening over there, but we need to realize that the open doors are here too for the gospel, because God so loved the world. Not just for God to love certain countries, but God so loved the world. And so one of the doors that we're just trying to just knock at and go through with all the gusto we got is those good news clubs in the public schools. And so that's the open doors that we're running at right now.
We're going to talk a little bit more about that after we come back in just a minute. Welcome back to What in the World is God Doing? This is your host, Eli Beltran, and here in the studio with me is Katrina Forsyth with Child Evangelism Fellowship. Welcome back.
Oh, thanks, Eli.
Hey, that was a good discussion we had prior to the break. But this time, I'd like to talk a little bit about this open doors policy. Now, we're talking open doors, open heart, but explain that to me, will you?
Well, the open doors is referring to the open doors that we have in the schools, the public schools here in the USA, that a lot of people, they just swallowed separation of church and state so much, mm-hmm. and they just think that, you know, there's nothing that you can do, and that's not true.
People get nervous, don't they?
They do. And they're just not aware. I mean, I can't tell you how many churches, how many pastors, how many people I run into, and they're like, what? You can be in the public schools? How do you do that? How do you teach the Bible? How do you share about Jesus? They don't understand how you can talk about Jesus in the public schools. It all comes down to equal access. So in June 11th, 2001, we always think of 9/11. Well, this is 6/11. In 2001, in the Supreme Court, our highest court in the nation, came down with a 6-3 decision, and they said it was a Good News Club case that worked its way up from the state of New York, and they said that a Good News Club can meet in the public school on the same grounds as any other community group. It's called equal access. So it's building usage, it covers flyers, distribution, and covers fees. So in other words, if a Boy Scout, Girl Scout, 4-H, Brownies, whatever, meets in the public school after school, they're a community group in the same way Child Evangelism Fellowship, Good News Club. See, we're not a church. We are a community group, okay? And that's the difference. And so just to break that down, there's over 5,000 Good News Clubs that meet nationwide, mm-hmm. reaching close to like 250,000 children with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's like a Sunday school and a public school immediately after school, okay? Mm. So that's what it is. And so it's amazing. Like, you're in a gym, you're in a cafeteria, you could be in a library, and you're sharing the gospel with children, and you're teaching a Bible club with children. And I'm just so excited because I'm getting numbers and reports from around the state, because a lot of the Good News Clubs are just now kicking in with the school year. They kind of wait a little bit, and then they get start like late September or in October. Like, for example, in Hickory Grove and Dunlap, we have 83 children. They're coming to the Good News Club there that, you know, you and I go to the same church, Grace Presbyterian Church. They adopted Hickory Grove. I also got, I don't know what the number of 83 is going on, but in Heron, Illinois, way down south in southern Illinois, 82 kids came on the first day of club. So it's just exciting to see these open doors that God is doing. But at the same time, I'm realizing, I see the good reports, and probably you're like this too, when you're positions of leadership, you see the good reports, but you also see the what?
The bad reports.
You see the bad reports. And so we're having some pushback here and there. And it's like north, south, east, and west. And I could name the different schools and school districts. And we're taking them one at a time and patiently explaining equal access to them, whether that's a flyer issue or a fee issue. And
yeah, it seems like people take the phrase separation of church and state and read into that whatever they've heard, rather than say, okay, this is what – we're not asking for anything special. We're saying – this is given to this group, mm-hmm. then it's equal to any other group.
That's right. And also, no child comes to an after-school activity without written permission of their parents. This is the parents' mm-hmm. choice to send their child to this Good News Club. It's not an endorsed school activity and so forth. So all that to say is that now we need – We need prayer support. So God has given us these open doors. I mean, it's no accident that this thing went all the way up to the Supreme Court. I mean, that mm-hmm. wasn't just a fluke. I mean, God had his hand on that. So God in his sovereignty has opened up every door in every school if they have community group. I mean, you realize what you're saying here? I mean, like in Illinois, where there's 1,500 schools, that's potentially 1,500 schools where there can be a Bible club in the public school here in our state. And our state needs the gospel. And yes. boy, do we need yeah. the gospel, and especially with our children and so forth. But also, not only do we have the open doors, but we also need the open hearts. And so that's one thing I wanted to share with you is that last year, a year ago, actually this October, I met the international president of Moms in Prayer. And it wasn't through me. It was through our USA leadership of Child Advancement Fellowship. And her name is Sally Burke.
Now, tell me what Moms in Prayer, what is the group?
Well, I'm learning myself, but what I've come to understand is like where women come together, moms come together, and they maybe their children go to a certain public school, whether that's Dunlap or Peoria or whatever. I mean, this is not just Illinois. This is worldwide. This is mm-hmm. international, mm-hmm. and they come together. Number one, to pray for the children in that school for their salvation. It's not just praying for their children to have a good education. It's mm-hmm. praying for the children's salvation. And so basically we're two ministries and we do two different things. And so here's the bottom line is we're forming a ministry partnership and we're fleshing it out here in Illinois. So we've asked Sally Burke, the president, international president, excuse me, of Moms in Prayer to come. And we're having two events in November. And it's November the 14th, and one is at Weaver Ridge Golf Course. Not that they're playing golf, but
we can do that too.
Well, the men can do that, but the women, we're having a luncheon. Of course, women just love luncheons.
Sure.
And Sally Burke is coming. It's an Equipping Moms to Pray luncheon. It's Thursday, November 14th from 11 o'clock to 1:30. Also, Ann White is running the point person here in this Central Illinois area. And we're looking maybe 100, 200, 300 women. We took the biggest room that they have there. And the whole point is equipping moms to have a heart to pray for the children in their schools. But also we want to introduce the partnership. And so it's as simple as this, is wherever there is a Moms in Prayer praying for a school, there's a Good News Club reaching the children in the school. And then that evening we're having an event at Grace Presbyterian Church with Dr. Brian Chappell, my pastor of Grace Presbyterian, and then also Sally Burke, and that's at 6 o'clock that evening, and it's called Open Doors, Open Hearts. So open doors means the open doors to school. Open hearts is that God, through the power of people coming together to pray, would open the hearts of the children to respond to the good news of the gospel. But I was thinking of, it's not just open doors, open hearts. God wants us not only to pray and maybe be involved, but every one of us, we need to open up our mouths and speak the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So just a verse I wanted to read. It says, with all praying also for us, that God would open to us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. And so that's what this event is all about. And it's a fundraiser too, because it costs about $1,200 to sponsor one school. Mm-hmm. So if there's 1,400 schools in Illinois, then you see how much, what the need is. So
if people are interested, how do they make contact?
I think the best way is to go to our website, cefofillinois.com is our website, cefofillinois.com, and we have a special events button. And also our phone number is 309-688-9699. This is not a meal. This is a dessert reception, that evening event. And there's no ticket cost, there's no RSVP. Just come, and we want to explain more to you about this partnership between Moms in Prayer, CEF, and this Open Doors, Open Hearts in the public schools.
Well, sounds like an exciting partnership. And folks, we need to pray for CEF, for their ministry here in Peoria, around the state, around the world, and get involved yourself. I'm sure you're looking for volunteers all the time.
Yes.
And support this ministry. Don't forget the date, November 14th, luncheon for moms, and 14th at 6 p.m. at Grace Presbyterian Church. Mm-hmm. Katrina, thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, thanks, Eli. It's great
God
to be here.
God bless you and give you the strength you need.
Amen.
Folks, this week as you go out, share Jesus. You'll be surprised and excited on how he will use you in the lives of your friends and family. Lord bless now. Bye-bye.
What in the World is God Doing? Has been brought to you by Dr. Karen Nordstrom Hutchison, providing your family with gentle dental care at the Hopedale Medical Complex in Hopedale. Call Dr. Karen Nordstrom Hutchison at 309-449-4351.